heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us safely before you, and thank you for all of the grace and mercy you have provided us. I pray that you fill your servant with your Holy Spirit, with your spirit of boldness, and your spirit of power, love, and self-discipline, so that I can be able to speak your words and be able to adequately praise you. And I pray that you open each of our hearts, our eyes, and our ears, so that we can be able to see wonderful things in your law, be able to hear your word, and that we can be able to understand it and put into practice. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So the title that I chose for today is God is Great. And I chose God is Great because from my own experience, I've seen that God has displayed his righteousness, his faithfulness, and his love within my life. And he has shown that his righteousness, his faithfulness, and his love endures forever. So if we look at the Bible where it says that his righteousness endures forever, if we look at Psalms 111, verse 2 to 3, the psalmist teaches us that. So looking at Psalms 111, verse 2 to 3, it says, "Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever." And in terms of his faithfulness, how it also endures forever, if we look at Psalms 117, 1 to 2, it talks about how God's faithfulness endures forever. So looking at Psalms 117, which has two verses, it says, "Praise the Lord, all you nations, exalt him, all you peoples, for great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." And then the third thing that endures forever, which is taught to us by David, can be found in Psalms 118, which is the love of God. So if we look at verse 1 of Psalms 118, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." So in terms of how I've experienced that God's righteousness, his faithfulness, and his love endures forever, for me, if we look at what the Bible says, and we also look at what I've experienced, how God has shown himself to me is how in the beginning of this year, he first transferred me to Sight, and he also directed me by telling me that my end date would be September the 16th. And at that time, how I responded, this was around July when they told me that my end date would only extend to September the 16th, was I turned to God and I prayed to him. And then the next miracle that God provided for me, not only by giving me the sight experience and by telling me the end date, was that he extended my end date to November 30th. And then the third miracle was they told me it was November 30th, but my boss didn't talk to me at all. He didn't call me to his office or tell me if my end date would be extended until I came to him on the last day at 4 o'clock before my shift ended. And I asked him, "So am I coming to work tomorrow?" And what he told me was, "Oh, your end date is November 30th. And he did a phone call for me. And now they've told me that I will be working with them at least to the end of the project. So praise the Lord for that. If you look at Job chapter 42, verse 5, I found that this verse has really been revealed in my life, where I have not only been able to hear of God in the past and also see God through other people's lives, but I've also been able to experience how God has truly been able to help me. So if we look at Job 42:5, it says, "My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you." So how this also applies to my life, not just in the past, in terms of how God first helped me be able to get a job with PCL. Even though I chose a faculty at that time, that didn't exactly provide many opportunities within the city. But he also has not only shown me how he can help me in the past, but if we also look at Psalms 84:11-12, God has also continues to show me his great favor, his honor, and also how he's able to give us good things. So looking at Psalms 84:11-12, it says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you." So from my experience with, especially this year, I can truly see that God does not withhold any good thing, but what he requires from us is that we should seek him all the more faithfully, that we shouldn't be content with what we're doing for him now or our knowledge with him now, but rather that we should seek him all the more earnestly and all the more faithfully and to walk with him so that we can continue to receive more favor and more honor from him, so that we can be able to not only have heard about good things in the past, but continue to receive good things in the present as well. So from this experience, what I have learned is that there are three things that we should be doing all of the days of our life, not just when we're in trouble, but also when we are happy as well. If we look at Psalms 116:1-6, it talks about the first thing that we should be doing all of the days of our life. And the first thing is we should be praying to God, especially when we are in need. So going to Psalms 116:1-6, it says, "I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me." So as long as we are alive, as long as we are living, whenever we're in need, what should we do? What we should do is we should call on the Lord as long as we live. And what else does David teach us in terms of how we should call on the Lord? If we look at Psalms 27:4, we can see that throughout Psalms, David encourages us to pray to God, but not just to pray to God anywhere, but to pray to God, especially in the house of God. So if we look at Psalms 27:4, it says, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." So here it talks about how we should pray to God, that we should seek him, and not just anywhere, but especially in the house of God. And the reason why we should come to the house of God to seek him and not just pray to God anywhere is because if we look at Isaiah chapter 56:7, it talks about how the house of God is a house of prayer for all nations. And we should seek God especially there. So looking at Isaiah chapter 56:7, it says, These I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. So from my experience, what I can encourage each one of you to do is not only to come to pray to God on Sundays, but that you all should also come to prayer meeting and also pray with the group. Also, tell other people about your needs so that other people can also be mutually encouraged by how you were able to overcome your difficulties through the help of God. In terms of how we should come to God and pray before Him at His house, one example of someone in the Bible besides David who came to the house of God to not only pray about their needs, but also to praise God when their needs were fulfilled, would be the example of Hannah. If we look at 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2, it talks about how when Hannah was in need, how she prayed to God in His house, and how in the end, after her needs were fulfilled, when she had her son Samuel, how she did not receive her grace in vain, how she fulfilled her vows, and how she praised the Lord at the temple, at the house of God. And in the same way, if we also want our prayers to be answered by God, we should also bring our needs before God at His house. We should also fulfill our vows at His house as well, in front of the great assembly. And we should also praise God here in His house of prayer. If we also look at what God says in terms of how we should pray, how our prayer should not be in secret, and how we should proclaim what God has done for us, especially to many people. If we look at what it says in Luke chapter 8, verse 40 to 56. From Luke chapter 8, verse 40 to 56, this gives us two examples of how God wants us to come before Him with our needs, how we shouldn't keep our needs a secret and hidden, but how we should come to God in front of many people, and we should let other people know what exactly our needs are, so that when God's power is revealed, that it isn't something that only we experience, but also other people are able to experience. If we look at Luke chapter 8, verse 40, it says, "Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed Him, for they were all expecting Him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with Him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on His way, the crowds almost crushed Him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind Him and touched the edge of His cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. 'Who touched me?' Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, 'Master, the people are crowding and pressing against You.' But Jesus said, 'Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me.' Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at His feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched Him and how she had been healed. How she had been instantly healed. Then He said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace.' While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. 'Your daughter is dead,' he said. 'Don't bother the teacher anymore.' Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, 'Don't be afraid. Just believe and she will be healed.' When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. 'Stop wailing,' Jesus said. 'She's not dead, but asleep.' They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, 'My child, get up.' Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. So here we can see from this example, from the story about Jairus and the woman who was bleeding for 12 years, we can see that in his time of need, Jairus didn't approach Jesus secretly. He didn't come to Jesus quietly. But it says here in Luke chapter 8, verse 41, it says that he came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house. So in the same way, when we are in need, what we should do is we shouldn't just pray to God among our own families or secretly, but rather we should come before Jesus' feet and not be ashamed to allow other people to know what is going on in our life, so that other people can be able to see that if they also have the same kind of situation, they know who they can turn to as well. And the same with this woman. You can see that at first she wanted to be able to be healed, but also to be able to go unnoticed. But what God wanted, what Jesus wanted, was that she not only be healed, but she also proclaim in the presence of all people that she told why she touched him. So what was wrong in her life? And also how she had been instantly healed. So how God had also helped her. So in the same way, what we need to do is that it is God's desire for us to pray in front of other people. And that we not only pray to him, but we also praise him in front of other people. So it isn't just we present our problems before other people, we also present the solution as well. This is how we have been helped by God, and how if other people come before us with also the same problem, they can also be able to receive help from God as well. And also, if we look at what it teaches us in terms of prayer, if we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, it talks about how God wants us to pray continually. This is not just something we should do only when we're in need, but it talks about how we should pray continually to God, regardless of the circumstances. So from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 to 18, it says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So regardless of what is going on in our life, we should also always find joy in God. And how can we find joy in God? Is if we wait continually for him to help us. And if we believe that he will deliver us from whatever troubles we have. And also, it talks about how we should pray continually. How it isn't just that we should pray when we're in need, but we should also pray to him to give him thanks when he has fulfilled each of our needs. And how we should also give thanks in all circumstances. And this includes suffering as well. Because through suffering, we are able to know God better. And we are also able to experience God. And also, if we look at Psalms 130, verse 5 to 7, just like how I just talked about how we can be joyful always is because we wait for God and because we believe in his words. If we look at Psalms 130, verse 5 to 7, it talks about how the psalmist encourages us to wait for the Lord and to put our hope in the word of God. So Psalms 130, verse 5 to 7 says, "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption." So here we can see that the psalmist himself waits for the Lord to answer his prayer. And in the same way, we too should wait for the Lord. But in waiting for the Lord, we also need to put our hope in his word, so that our waiting would not be in vain, but rather it will be firmly rooted in the word of God. And we put our hope in the word of God, and we wait for the Lord, because we know that from the Lord comes unfailing love, and from the Lord comes his redemption. From the Lord comes our deliverance as well. So when we wait for the Lord, when we patiently wait for God, and we do not do our own thing, if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, when we patiently wait for God, that is how we can be able to live by faith and not by sight. That we are not swayed by what goes on in the world around us, but rather by what God has promised us. If we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It talks about how we live by faith and not by sight. It says, we live by faith, not by sight. And since we live by faith and not by sight, our faith also should not waver, but we should believe that God is able to not only help us in the past, but will continue to help us. If we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, says, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. So here we can see that if we apply this in our lives, not just in terms of spiritually, but also with our earthly needs, that God has helped us in the past, and he is also able to help us now in the present and continue to help us in the future as well. The criteria is that we need to do what is pleasing to him, and we also need to continue to wait for him. In terms of how we should do what is pleasing to him, if we go to Psalms 37, 23 to 24, we can see that if what we're doing is pleasing to God, that God will make all of our paths straight, and he will put us on level ground. So if we look at Psalms 37, verse 23 to 24. This is what it says. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. So the important thing is that we not only pray to God in our need, that we not only wait for him to deliver us, but that we also do what is pleasing to him as well. That we are faithful not only in continuing to praise him, and also in continuing to serve him as well. So from my experience, in terms of waiting for God and praying to him, what my family has done is we have been praying continuously with each other every day concerning my work situation and concerning how God can be able to deliver me. Since PCL is my first job, and I don't have any other companies to back me up or any other references that I could really turn to, you can see that God has continuously shown me how I should put my trust and rely on him. And in terms of what God has said in terms of trusting in him, if we look at Psalms 118, verse 8 to 9. In Psalms 118, verse 8 to 9, it says, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. And the reason why the psalmist says that it is better to take refuge in God, to trust in him, and to rely on him instead of on man and in princes, is because if we look at Psalms 146, 3 to 4, it talks about how We should not trust in man and the outcome of trusting in man. So looking at Psalms 146, verse 3 to 4, it says, "Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing." So one example of how I've seen this within my company is a week before this, we suddenly were told by the contractor that they had run out of funds and we had to suspend our work for a week. And also a week later, we thought that we would receive more solid news in terms of whether we would have funding and whether half of the staff who were suspended for that 1 week, who were forced to take a vacation, would be able to come back. And what happened was that the construction manager, who was in charge of our project from day one, what happened to him was the client said that they did not want him to be in charge of the project anymore, and he lost his position. And the guy that they brought in from our head office to help him out during that 1 week suspension, in the end, received his position. So we can see that, yes, we can build relationships and with man, how we can be able to show that we are hard workers, but in the end, they also don't know their future. And in the end, for this construction manager, I had a great relationship with him, and he saw that I was hardworking. And it was also due to God's moving his heart that I was able to have my extensions up to this point. But we can also see that in the end, it is God who is in control and not so much man, because in the end right now, that construction manager is no longer working for our project. In terms of how God is continuously in control, if we look at Psalms chapter 40, verse 1 to 5, we can see that while man cannot be in control, that it is God who is in control, who is able to bring us out of these tricky situations and be able to help us. So going back to Psalms, we look at Psalms 40, 1 to 5. Says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. No one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, there would be too many to declare. So here we can see, especially in verse 3, where it says, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. How can people be able to see and fear and put their trust in God? Is if we are willing to not only do our part in waiting patiently for God, but if we're willing to share our troubles with other people and also share how God has helped us as well. That is how we can be able to see and fear, and how they can also be able to see and fear and put their trust in God. So that not only are we mutually encouraged and edified, but that other people who may not believe in God can also be able to see his power as well. So in terms of fearing God and waiting patiently for him and entrusting in God, if we look at Psalms 34, verse 9 to 10, we can see that if we wait for God, that means we truly fear him, that we truly put all of our hope and trust in him, and that we believe that he will deliver us. And if we put all of our hope and trust in him, it says, "Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." So if we truly fear God, if we truly seek him, and we truly desire to do His will, we can see that God continues to take care of us and will continue to save and deliver us. And if we also look at Psalms 118, verse 25, you can see that the reason why it is important that we invest all of our hope, all of our trust in God and not in mortal man and not in our own power and our own strength. If we look at verse 25, it says, O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. So why does the psalmist pray like this? It's because apart from God, we can do no good thing. And apart from God, we cannot be successful. And it is only through God that we can be able to get any of the good things that we want in life. So besides praying to God, the second thing that I've learned that we should be doing all the days of our life is praising God. So in terms of praising God, if we look at Psalms 115, verse 17 to 18, 17 to 18 says, It is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to silence. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. So as long as we are living, we should not only pray to God for help, but we should also praise God for all that He has done for us and all the situations that He has led us through and put us in. And not only should we ourselves praise God, if we look at Psalms 117, 1-2, it talks about how we should also encourage other people to praise God. In Psalms 117, 1-2, it says, Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol Him, all you peoples. For great is His love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. So here you can see that the psalmist not only says that we should praise God, but we should also encourage all the nations and all the peoples to extol God and to praise Him. And the reason for praising Him can be found in Psalms 118, verse 21, where it talks about how God is our salvation. So Psalms 118, verse 21 says, I will give you thanks for you answered me. You have become my salvation. So it's important that we do not rely on ourselves, because if we rely on ourselves, then it is very hard for us to be able to see that our help and our deliverance doesn't come from our efforts and how hard we try, but rather from God, that He is our salvation. And also, if we look at Psalms 116, verse 16, we can see that it is also God who frees us from our chains, frees us from all of our worries and all of our troubles. So Psalms 116, verse 16 says, O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You freed me from my chains. So how can we truly be able to experience God's power is if we acknowledge that we are His servant, that we praise Him, that He has given us the opportunity to serve Him and experience Him. And in being His servant, then we can truly be able to see how our Master is able to help us through our every need. And why else do we praise God? Is because what He has provided for us is beyond what we have heard about, what we can see, and what we can imagine. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, what Paul teaches us from 1 Corinthians 2, 9, it says, However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. So in terms of how God has been able to show me good things, how He has been able to do things that were beyond my imagination and what I have heard from in the past would be how I just talked about how our company just went through a one-week suspension where half of the staff were forced to take a one-week vacation, or for those who are hourly, I guess, take a leave of absence for a week. So the amazing thing was that when they made that decision, they decided to keep me on for that 1 week. I was able to get my full hours without having to take any vacation, any leave of absence, and be able to get my overtime. And on top of that, for those 2 weeks, when they were talking about budget and how they were not sure whether they would have enough money, God moved the client to also approve us to have overtime on the weekend. And in the past, my boss had been giving me a very hard time in terms of not being able to work on the weekends, because at that time in the past, what they had said was, if you take overtime for Saturday, you also have to work on Sundays. And I was very firm that I could not work on Sundays, for sure, because I had to come to church. And my boss had given me an extremely hard time about that. But how God has revealed himself to me is God moved my boss to be willing to let me to work only on Saturdays. The client also approved it, even though they had just said, we don't have enough money for half of your staff, which was pretty amazing. And not just 1 week, but also the second week. So from here, if I look at all of the other people, coworkers that I work with, how God has revealed his power to me is that out of all of my coworkers, I probably would be the least qualified, the one with the least certification and the least industry experience. And the guy who mentored me, who first taught me how to use all the programs and do all the paperwork and showed me all the ropes, it ended up that he was forced to take the 1 week vacation. And in the end, I was basically given his position for that 1 week. So you can see that God has truly revealed his power. And also for yesterday, the last Saturday, where the client also approved the overtime, it was really interesting because my boss was very firm on not applying for any overtime. But another boss, someone else's manager, asked me if I was willing to come in to work on Saturday, and they would also teach me to do their department's work, which was really amazing because that allows me to learn more things. And how God has also revealed himself to me is for those two, on Saturdays, my parents go to church. They go to Northside Church to serve, so we have no car. There's also no busing to site on Saturdays and Sundays. And God also provided me with a ride there and back on both those Saturdays. So praise the Lord on both of them. And I guess I haven't had the opportunity to share last month, but also what God has helped me in terms of my certification is God helped me be able to get an upgrade in my current welding certification, which is really great because it opens more opportunities within my own company to be able to transfer it at the end of the project. So this is what I can praise God for, which is beyond my imagination and beyond anything I expected. So the third thing that I've also learned, besides praying to God and praising him, is that we should also serve God diligently all the days of our life. So in terms of serving God, if we go to Psalms 116, especially in verse 12 to 14, it talks about how we should serve God faithfully, and all the more faithfully after we have received his grace, mercy, and blessing. So in Psalms 116, verse 12 to 14, it says, "How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people." So in terms of receiving good things from God, how we can serve God is to lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. and to fulfill our vows to God in the presence of all people. So in lifting up the cup of salvation is in telling other people and preaching about how he has been able to bless us, how he has been able to help us through difficult times, and how we can encourage other people to do the same thing as well. If we also go on to verse 17 and 18 of Psalms 116, it says, I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. So here it talks about how we not only lift up the cup of salvation, but we also offer thank offerings, how we're willing to praise God in front of other people and to lead other people to praise God as well. And this is especially important, and this is why God requires us to do this, is because if we look at Isaiah chapter 44, verse 8, it says very clearly that we are his witnesses. So as his witnesses, it means that we cannot keep silent about the good and the bad that God has done for us. And we should be willing to proclaim everything that he has done for us and to say his words both in season and out of season. So Isaiah 44, 8 says, Do not tremble, do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one. So here it talks about how we are God's witnesses. And if we also look at Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18, it also talks about how we're not just his witnesses, but we are also his signs and symbols. So in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18, it says, Here am I and the children the Lord has given me. We are signs and symbols in Israel from the Lord Almighty who dwells on Mount Zion. So since we are God's witnesses and we are also his signs and symbols, we should represent him in an appropriate fashion, in not keeping silent about what God has done for us, but in being willing to serve him all the more faithfully and to show through our words and also our deeds how God has richly blessed us. And in serving him, if we look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it talks about how God will give us his power to be able to do the tasks that he has in mind for us diligently and with authority. So if we look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So we can see that God will provide us with his Holy Spirit, with his Spirit of power, so that we can be able to be effective witnesses for him. And from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, you can see that God will equip us with everything we need to do the good works that he has prepared for us. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So God has prepared us in advance to do this. It is just whether we are willing to reciprocate what he has given us and to show our thanks and to serve him faithfully. So if we also look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, despite any difficulties that we might continue to currently have, we can see that it is through our weakness that God is able to display his power and strength. And that's why we should be willing to reveal our weaknesses to other people so that we can be able to show how God's strength can be revealed through our life as well. So 2 Corinthians 12, 9. Paul Paul records, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" So in terms of making this sermon, how I was able to experience how God's power and grace is sufficient to help me to be able to make this sermon is how God was able to reveal himself to me. It was kind of interesting because the day before I received the email that I would be doing the sermon was the day that all of this started to happen. And throughout this entire week of preparing the sermon, God also gave me all these experiences, and he also gave me the passages as well, which was pretty ironic because at that time I didn't understand why God gave me that passage to look at and why it really stood out to me. But then after this 1 week of experience, I'm beginning to understand more and more and better why God exactly made this passage stand out to me and also gave me these experiences as well. So I continue to ask you guys as our brothers and sisters to not only pray to God for help, to not only praise him and also serve him, but also to continue to pray for me so I can continue to experience his grace and his power. And hopefully that after this project is done, or even before, that I'll be able to receive a position that is closer to home so I can serve him all the more faithfully and have more time with him. So let's bow our heads in conclusion. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing to us that your righteousness, your faithfulness, and your love endures forever, and for giving us the opportunity to be alive and be living before you so that we can be able to call on you in our time of need, that we can be able to praise you for all of the grace and mercy you've provided us, and also that we can have the opportunity to lift up your cup of salvation and be able to serve you faithfully. And thank you for helping me so I can be able to experience you and be able to know you better. And I pray that you continue to not only watch over me, but all of the other brothers and sisters as they continue to put your word into practice. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.